cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Wedding Central. I'm on my own for the time being with a joined... Oh, and Tombi's just walked in. She got pulled over. But today we are joined with Ryan Hochart, the marriage officer. And Tombi, are you feeling okay?
Must be fabulous.
She's a bit flustered, but you put your game face on like we do every day in wedding planning. Lovely. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you very much. Awesome to be here.
And today we're talking all things to do with the ceremony. So
yes.
Ryan is an official marriage officer. He does, Ryan, you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
I guess how I generally describe myself is I'm a non-religious marriage officer or secular marriage officer, which when I started doing this about 16 years ago was fairly rare. So for me, it was kind of a niche because I thought there must be people who want to get married but are outside. Traditionally, you've been going to church your whole life, and when it's time to get married, there's a priest, pastor, rabbi, sheikh of some sort who knows you and has known you your whole life, and that's the person that's going to marry you. Mm. And they know you intimately, probably too well,
and
know everything about you. Mm. But there were people who were outside of that,
whether
it was mixed faith or they're not religious or just didn't want to have that traditional thing. And so that's where I saw myself, and I liked that idea, and it was probably not a bad way to go, because I think that segment of the market has been growing ever since then, and I think there are more and more people who want that, and so that's what I do.
Okay. All right, cool. I heard you mention, you know, religious backgrounds and, you know, where people are coming from. Do you find that sometimes the people that you had dealt with might not have complete, now I'm speaking maybe specifically for Catholics. You know, with Catholics, there's certain things you need to have done before you can actually get married. And did you find a lot of your clients, because perhaps maybe they hadn't been confirmed or done First Communion or whatever, then had no option but to find somebody else?
Yeah, look, I've definitely had that, but I don't think that particular thing is very common. What I see... The greatest reason, I think, is, you know, we live in a society in a time where all the traditional barriers to relationships have disappeared. You know, it used to be, you know, the race issue disappeared, and more the religion issue. You know, there was no marrying over the race line, and then there was no marrying over the religious line.
Yeah.
And these days, gender's not even an issue, you
know.
So really, anybody you fall in love with, you can marry that person. So it tends to be more that there where someone was speaking earlier about a Catholic marrying a Jewish person.
Mm.
And then it's problematic because then the Catholics are
lots
like...
Lots of drama.
Yeah, the Catholics don't want to deal with it. And the rabbi's like, well... Yeah. So they then have to find somebody in the middle that will walk a middle path.
Yeah, I mean, you and I work a lot together.
Yes.
And I mean, the couples that we deal with, it's not that they're not religious or they just want a very down-to-earth type of ceremony and that people walk away saying, wow, that was awesome. It's not a particular religion thrown at you in the ceremony. It's just you give a really down-to-earth type of ceremony.
The most common thing I see when I first meet with a couple is I say to them, okay, so when you think about the ceremony, what do you want? They say, not entirely sure. And then I say, well, what is it that you don't want? Well, we have a list.
Yeah.
And because, you know, particularly if you have friends of, you know, if you're sort of in your early 30s, you're probably in a circle of friends and they're all getting married. You've been to weddings.
Right.
And they go, oh my goodness, I don't want it to be an hour and a half long.
Yeah, right.
I don't want it to be dull and boring. I don't want there to be weird, you know, I want it to be lighthearted and nice, but I don't want there to be weird, uncomfortable, awkward jokes, and I don't want the guy to be getting... And marriage officer, priest, rabbi, all of it unfortunately does have that stigma attached to it.
I hate the word marriage officer.
I like the
officiant, or they must make it a little bit more romantic, I think. You need to rebrand that name, please.
And funny enough,
so hectic.
I hate the word officiant.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a weird word to say, but I agree with that. And people are confused about it, because when they see me, they're like, do I call you father? Do I call you?
Yes.
And I just say, call me Ryan. And so what are you? What's the thing? And how does it work? But I do agree with you. It does sound a little...
What do you find?
I love that you put your hand up and told me.
No, I tell you why. It's because me and Kylie are right in each other's mouth, so we have to signal. We have to signal to each other.
Okay.
So my question was, what do you find couples struggle with the most in terms of what to include in their ceremony? So yes, I know length is usually a main thing and they want to have it shorter, but do you have maybe parents meddling and saying, well, we have to have this and we have to have it. What do you find they struggle the most with in terms of what they want to include in the ceremony?
Really, it's they're not quite sure what to include.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's what they're looking to me for, is to say, well, what do you think? We'd like to be guided by you. You know, we know we don't want it to be long, or we don't want it to be religious, or, but beyond that, there are very few couples who go, you know what, we've researched and this is what we want to have.
Yeah. Right.
So I have a couple of ceremonies and I will send that to them. So it gives them somewhere to start. Yeah. They are welcome to edit it, change it, add to it, take out, start from scratch, but they just need a starting point, because you say, okay, well, what do you want? And they don't know. They just need a little bit of help.
Before. Yeah. Maybe they've done it before.
My favorite line, and there isn't a couple I've met that I haven't said this to, because they say, well, we're not sure. And I said, it's totally fine. You don't want to get good at this.
What's a good time? What is a good length of ceremony for a couple?
In my experience, a great length of time is 20 minutes.
20 minutes
is long enough that people feel like something important happened.
Yeah.
But our attention spans are abysmal. And after 20 minutes, you start worrying that Facebook's happening without you.
Yeah.
And so, or guaranteed there's some sport somewhere that somebody's missing out or whatever. So you want to have a moment of pause where, you know, this is important enough that we're stopping everything to focus on this. And that is very important. But when you start going beyond 20 minutes, now it's like, I've had people who've insisted that they want it shorter, and I've done it for them. But what people often don't realize is that 20 minutes seems short. On the day, it seems even shorter.
Yeah.
And so when you, or some people will go, oh, 20 minutes, that seems so long. Oh. I'm going to stand there for 20 minutes. But it disappears quickly. And if you're having a 10-minute ceremony, it finishes and you go, okay, well, what just happened?
And then they think, well, did we actually get married?
Correct.
Right.
We've got to take enough time to say this was important.
And then now you're mentioning in terms of they have a choice in terms of what to include. What do you have to, by law, include in a ceremony? What makes that ceremony legal?
Right. Almost nothing.
There's my country.
If you go to Home Affairs and get married by someone, a Home Affairs official, they'll ask you two questions.
Right.
Do you know of any lawful impediment why you may not marry this person? And
what does that actually mean when they say that?
Well, you can't marry somebody if you know it's illegal to marry them.
Mm.
And by illegal, it means the person's not already married. So, and that is, you can't do that.
Mm.
And if you're a little too closely related, you can't marry that person.
Right.
So you're really, and so you're allowed
I'm
to marry.
Get into that.
No, we're going to talk about that in a moment.
Right.
So that's the one reason. What was your question? Oh, to make it legal. So that's the first question is, do you know of any legal reason why you can't be married? And then basically, do you intend to marry this person? Mm-hmm. It's got to be something you
want to do.
So you're supposed to have that wording in any ceremony, but Home Affairs will also approve ceremonies. So if you submit a ceremony to Home Affairs and they approve it, then that now becomes legal wording.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
So as much as a couple will edit or change or add, you know, I'll just make sure that there's enough of the approved stuff in there to make it legal.
So it's not the actual vows that make it legal.
No.
It's just those two questions.
Correct.
That's crazy.
It is illegal from a government, from the government's point of view. That's all they want to know is that you concluded this deal of sound mind, and that you wanted to do it, and you didn't know of any reason why you couldn't.
Mm, okay.
The rest is all fluff, romance, and ceremony, which the government doesn't care about.
So you're saying, like in the movies, if somebody stands up and says, "Well, I object," that's not.
Well, funnily enough, you can. I mean, the law does talk about what you do, because
what are they term?
Correct. Like what? So there can be objections, you know, and you'll ask the question, are there objections? And you don't even have to ask that question. But if it is asked, or if someone says, "Don't marry him, I still love you,"
have you ever had that?
Sadly, not. Oh, no, that's a terrible thing to say. I've never had it, and I've done a lot of weddings, and you would have assumed by now that there would have been one of those.
At least one.
Amazingly, I've never had a lot of drama at a wedding, but the law requires that if there is an objection, the marriage officer has got to halt proceedings and find out what the objection is. I'm still in love with the bride is not a legitimate objection. It has to be.
Thank you for that.
Yes, it has to be on legal grounds, which again is, you know, this woman can't marry this guy because he's already married or she's already married, or they're brothers or sisters or brother or siblings, or, you know.
Who are you allowed to marry in terms of
this always
family?
Freaks people out.
I know, that's quite scary.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can't marry your mother, your father, your brother, sister, anyone immediate. And then there's some weird ones, like you can't marry your mother-in-law or father-in-law. So what that means is, let's say my wife and I were to divorce, I couldn't marry her
mother.
Mom. So that's kind of weird. But you can marry your first cousin, which a lot of people get kind of freaked out about.
Your first
that's
cousin.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, do you know what?
But that's blood.
You know what? Yes, but you know what? From a modern context,
that's very close blood.
It was in the news. Did you hear in the news this week? Yeah. Actually, there's a whole thing on the sperm bank thing, and there's about 50 kids. You know, they've got the same father. It's like that movie as well.
Yes.
But it's literally happening. And
what if they marry
each other? So they're like saying in town they should all wear red socks. So you know, don't engage.
Not
with
another sperm donor child. Yeah. And in the modern context, it does freak us out a little bit, but what we forget is that historically this is how family empires were protected, where you know, we would marry our cousins so that the money and the fortune didn't go outside the intimate group. But it doesn't happen often these days.
What is your view on traditional, and I have a view, but I'll wait for you to go. But what is your view on traditional vows versus people writing their own vows?
You know what, I don't think I have a view. For me, it comes down to what the couple want.
Right.
I do always advise, if you get people who are sort of naturally sort of a lot of flair and outgoing and they're creative and a little crazy and they say they want to write their own vows, in that case, absolutely. Yeah. Then you have people who are a little bit more reserved and they say, we're thinking of writing our own vows. And I said, look, if it's important to you, absolutely. But it is a ceremony is already a lot of, pressure's the wrong word. It's a tense, it's an emotional moment. Yeah. There's a lot going on, and often you've been planning it for a year and suddenly you're standing there and
the nerves are going.
Exactly, and the paper's shaking. And I say, but if it is important to you and you decide to go with it, don't decide you're going to memorize the vows.
Yeah.
Have the cheat sheet. Have the little cards. And what I will do is if in that case, I'll ask them to send me the vows so that I include it in my on my tablet. So if they've lost their cheat sheet or their brain fries, I've got it there. And in the worst case, I could read it if they
could still say, repeat after me.
Absolutely.
Right. From a planner's point of view, one thing I would recommend to any couple is to have a copy of those vows just in case anything had to happen to your marriage officer. I know it sounds funny, but, you know, we're all working on times. There's a lot of money gone into this wedding. And the last thing you need is somebody like your marriage officer not arriving on time or being stopped by a roadblock.
Hello.
Hello today. or something happening. Yes. And at least if you've got a copy of the vows or something, maybe somebody who's quite outspoken. I've had that before and it ended up working quite nicely.
Right.
But I'm interested to know your views on personal vows.
I do not like personal vows.
Why?
Okay, yeah.
Why? I just feel like the traditional vows are so true in what I feel like you should be committing to in marriage.
Yeah.
I feel like they are so, like, that for me is what you should be promising to your better half.
Yeah.
I always say with my clients, even, you know, I always say to them, and I always tell them, and I say, I would recommend you do the traditional and then maybe have your ad lib on top of that.
And that's actually most commonly what happens, is we'll have the traditional vows and then we'll take a moment for them to say them to each other. But you've raised an important thing. You know, the thing that has kept me doing this and for the last 3 or 4 years, I've in theory been trying to do fewer weddings, and I haven't.
Oh, we know that.
I haven't said no to. Yeah. I know it's ridiculous,
Ryan.
But
are you still doing?
But part of the reason why is, you know, one wedding to the next is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes it unique are the two people getting married.
Yeah.
And it is amazing to me how different things are important for different people, and so on. So while I might agree that, you know, the traditional vows are like the, you know, key. the basis of other people's relationships may not be that, or it may be completely something else. So it has to be what works for them. And look, having said this, in the vast majority of cases, I will provide a couple with two options. And I always say I provide the couple. In truth, I'm providing it to the bride. The guy's like, you know, whatever she wants, I'm good to go with.
Give me a time and place.
Exactly. But in most cases, they will pick one ceremony and say, you know what, we really like that one, do it.
Right.
With very little change.
Right.
So in planning a wedding, there is a lot going on. And the ceremony is an important part of the day, but it is the least complicated. And I always emphasize that is don't complicate the ceremony.
Mm, yeah.
It's a short amount of time. The simpler it is, the better it goes. You don't want to be thinking about other, you know, you don't want to be planning your ceremony while you're standing in it. Just let it happen. Let it flow. A ceremony is not complicated. Yeah, you know, you're walking about 15, 20 meters, and then you're standing. And then afterwards, you're walking and sitting down. Yeah. So let's just keep it natural. And so that's kind of – I tend to push it in that direction.
When I sit with clients and maybe they're getting married at a church or, you know, they've got their own pastor, I always ask them, have you actually asked your pastor if they are officially registered with Home Affairs? And they sit and they look at me and they're like, what?
Uh-huh.
And I said, yes, you've got to double check that. Can you – how does that all work with registrations and things?
There is some confusion with that because you assume – that, you know, if you're going to church or you're part of a church and your priest or your pastor is going to marry you, there's an assumption that what he does goes. But there is a legal side of getting married. Mm. Somebody has to register it with Home Affairs. There's
right.
a register to sign and there's a marriage certificate to issue. And in most cases, a pastor that's doing weddings for a church is registered with Home Affairs to do that.
Mm. Right.
But in some cases, they're not.
Yeah.
And I probably 3 or 4 times a month get calls from people saying, oh, we got married last week, last month, 8 months ago, and we found out that, you know, the guy's not a registered marriage officer,
right.
so now we need to register our marriage. So I'll go and help take care of that. So that is definitely a question to ask.
Yeah, I find also, especially a lot, I feel like with African clients, they have trouble because priests are such an authoritative figure that they have such issues asking, like, are you legit? Like, do you go
imagine?
All the way?
Yeah.
Yes, are you going to do everything? And you find
that just quite disrespectful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I always say to my clients, just rather ask or even ask, you know, churches, you have like a secretary or some, those people know. Call the office and find out if he can do it for you.
Now, Tommy, you've raised a very important point. Because of that, Most will assume that a marriage officer is a priest or has some religious authority, and because they are now an authority figure, there is that weird thing of not asking for what you want.
Exactly.
And it gets really strange for me because my thought is, you know, ultimately you're paying me to provide a service, and of course I want to do it really well. But I want to, if it's going to be well, it's going to be because you got what you wanted. And so I always encourage people to demand what they want, you know, and say, well, I don't want to have this in the thing.
Right.
I don't want to sing songs. I don't want to. But many are cautious about doing that and won't. And there are many marriage officers who, despite being paid for it, will demand what they want. And they'll say, well, I'm only going to do it this way, and we have to do this, and we have to start at this time.
And they do insist.
Yeah, which is a strange thing.
I want to ask, just as for couples out there that are planning their ceremonies and in their weddings, what important things do you have to do before you get married?
Like
on the ceremony, what documents do you need to prepare? If you need to go the legal route with your antenuptial contracts? What happens if they don't even have that antenuptial contract? How will they get married?
Okay, well, it's very simple but fairly important. I mean, the documents that getting legally married is ridiculously
easy.
But
it's the way you get married is important.
What do you mean?
How you would register as the marriage officer, you would register that marriage.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to be certain that the person who's legally registering you is qualified to do that. And then the documents they generally need is sort of copies of IDs, and if you've been married before, a copy of a divorce decree or death certificate and so on.
But the antenuptial
contract is important. In South Africa, which is fairly unique, there's only South Africa and one other country that does it this way, is by default you're married in community of property. So if we do nothing and get married, we share, everything is shared. Mm. If you want to separate that, you've got to go see an attorney that will draw up an antenuptial contract and register it with the deeds office. And it is a critical thing because whatever your status is at the day you get married, that's what it is. You cannot change it. So if you get married in community of property, you can't just go, oh, well, we've changed our mind. We now want to be out of community of property. You cannot do that. And there have been a number of people who've gotten divorced, gotten a contract, and then remarried.
Which is actually fraud.
Yeah, well, hey, man,
no pressure.
So very important is that something. Now, and I have to say this about the antenuptial contract because people get quite awkward. You start talking about it and they start squirming
and
they
think it's a divorce contract. Yeah.
They
it's
think they're not. Planning for their divorce. Yeah. Exactly. You know,
it's also got this whole stigma of, I feel like people feel like my money's my money. Like money's, I feel like we struggle to talk about money just.
Well,
yeah.
That brings up a whole other thing is the sort of premarital counseling and have you dealt with what could be uncomfortable issues, which we may or may not have time to delve into there. But if there are questions about that, you know, find someone that it can be discussed with because, you know, how are you going to deal with your money? How are you going to deal with your kids? How are you going to bring up your kids? These are questions that often only get asked later and can be sources of conflict. But the antenuptial contract is being smart about your money. The downside of community of property is your marital assets can land up being at risk if one partner starts a business and it fails and there's bankruptcies or there's issues related to that. So you want to protect your marital assets, and that's why a couple should go and see an attorney and get proper advice on what the best route is for them to take.
Oh, okay. And then what do you find, what I'm trying to ask is, can I predate my marriage certificate? So what I'm trying to ask is, obviously on the day of the ceremony, people sit down and they do the actual signing of this marriage certificate.
Yes.
Can I do that before? Because a lot of people also get married 2-3 years ago and then they save up for the money and then the ceremony is really just for show.
Yes.
But can I predate maybe even in that week, maybe if we haven't been married before?
Well, when you say predate, you can absolutely get legally married at any time and then have your ceremony.
I meant to throw forward. So if we say to minus a few minutes or whatever, or to save time, or we don't want to do the signing and stuff on the day, can I say on Tuesday certificate, but date it Saturday?
No.
Definitely not.
Okay.
That just, that creates problems, because there could be problems for everybody involved.
Another thing a lot of people or couples will get confused about is, where can you get married, and what is legally a place of marriage in this country?
It comes down to interpretation, really. The law uses the word in, and I don't know if you've ever looked up the word in a dictionary. It's several pages long. The general rule is, the smaller the word, the more definitions it seems to have. And generally speaking, older marriage officers will kind of insist that it be indoors, under a roof, and all that sort of thing. Whereas, you know, my theory is, if I'm in your garden, I'm in your home.
Yes.
So therefore, if we did a wedding out in the garden, you could do that. So technically, the law uses the word in, and you can get married in a government office. You can get married in a religious building, or a building designated for religious services. So a wedding venue, for example, they've got their chapel.
Right.
And then, of course, in a private home, you can get married.
Okay.
And in some cases, in extreme cases, in hospital, if someone can't leave a hospital, they can get married there.
Right. How does getting married in South Africa stand in the rest of the world? So I'm a South African. Maybe we want to do a destination wedding in Mauritius. Do I take my South African marriage officer? Do I get, like, how as a South African can I get married?
There's a couple of ways to do it. One, you can get legally married in Mauritius or Dubai or wherever you're going, and then when you come back, submit your marriage certificate from whatever country you were at and submit that to Home Affairs.
Okay.
I've had numerous people mailing me and saying they're having massive difficulty doing that. So technically you can do it. Logistically, practically, in real life, it seems to be problematic. I have heard that if the couple are resident in South Africa, they can – me as a marriage officer, I can marry two South Africans anywhere in the world as long as they have a residence here.
Okay.
So, yeah, they could fly me out and I could do it there. Right. That's never happened.
But you're open to it.
Absolutely. And then the other option is get legally married here, then go do your ceremony on the beach in Mauritius.
Okay.
All right, cool. We have like half an hour.
And
I know since we've now gone live, we're now limited to half an hour. So it's very short.
It's shorter than usual.
So we'll definitely be bringing you
Have a part two.
We'll have a part two. Yes. And we also want to know about all the crazy stories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
100%.
But stunning. It was great having you on board.
And thanks for having me. I'm very pleased. And congratulations to the two of you and everything you're doing. You're doing amazing. Carry on.
Thanks so much, Ryan. Keep up with the conversation on our social media platforms. #WeddingCentral. Thanks so much. CliffCentral.com.